much transpired since our last time together, the last episode, and that's what happens when you have a weekly podcast. So much goes on, especially when it's election time. A lot can happen in a snap, in the blink of an eye. And we're going to talk about a few of those things today. But first, let me ask you, are you watching on YouTube? Have you subscribed yet? If you have not, make sure you subscribe and turn your notifications on so you don't miss a thing. Sometimes I do a little bonus and I throw an episode out there. And so it's not just on Tuesdays that a show may drop. There's a chance, especially with elections going on, election time going on, I may drop another episode. Don't want you to miss it. So subscribe. Also, like it. Share with other people. And also, don't forget my Substack, adrianross.substack.com. I would appreciate you subscribing there. I'd appreciate you leaving a rating and a review, even as you subscribe also on one of the podcast platforms. All right. So now that we have that out of the way, wow, let's talk about some things. All right. Some things that have gone on in the political arena. My last episode, I talked to you about the caucus here in Missouri that I was able to go to and participate in, which was really cool. That was on Saturday, March 2nd. Then, of course, on Tuesday, we had Super Tuesday. And President Trump just knocked it out in the park. Nikki Haley won Vermont. I did some writing. In a writing piece, I commented that she did not make a comment on after Super Tuesday. She did not come out and do what she usually does after these elections. And so I said, you know, it remains to be seen if she's going to drop out. Well, she did. After Super Tuesday, on Wednesday, she made her announcement that she was going to drop out. Now, people kind of figured that was coming down the pike, even though she said, I'm in it for the long haul. And even though there was talk about her going third party, she made that decision. So the talk became, well, when she makes her announcement, will she endorse Donald Trump? Will she endorse Donald Trump? And we found out on Wednesday that she had no intentions, at least at this point, of nominating Trump. And there were people who felt like this was the nail in the coffin for her political career. The nation, at least politically, is divided, and Trump supporters and Haley supporters butting heads because Trump and Haley butt heads during the campaigning. So she did not endorse him. And let's see what she did do. I'm not going to show you her whole speech. Her speech was about four, a little over 4 minutes. I don't have an issue at all with, you know, much of what she said. Of course, when you make a speech, you are going to thank the people who supported you. You're going to talk about your love for the country and that kind of thing. I don't have a problem with her giving a shout out to her mom. She talked about how her mother had the opportunity as a first generation immigrant to vote for her daughter. In fact, I wonder if she stayed in it that long for that purpose. Her husband is deployed, so he can't vote for her. Did she want to save her mom a vote? You know, that's just something to think about from a personal angle, maybe. So she talked about that. So I don't have a problem with some of the things that she said, but I do take issue with what she didn't say or what she didn't do. And that's what we're talking about. That is, she did not endorse Donald Trump. So let's look a little bit at her speech. Like I said, I don't want to go through the whole 4 minutes, but I want to go through a little bit of it. So let's take a look or listen, if you're not watching on YouTube, at how Nikki Haley comes to the end of her speech suspending her campaign.
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question.
So we're going to stop right here for a moment. Notice what she said. I congratulate him. Basically, just as I would congratulate anybody who would be the president. And then she says, I have always supported the Republican nominee. Notice, though, that she follows that up with, but I have always supported the Republican nominee, but this time. So it's clear from the start, she's making a distinction from what she's done in the past to what she's doing now. Let's continue.
As she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind.
So here you have it. She's saying, I've always supported the Republican nominee, but, and then she quotes Margaret Thatcher and says, don't go along with the crowd, make up your own mind. That not only is not an endorsement, that almost seems like the absolute opposite of an endorsement. No matter what I've done in the past, now with Donald Trump in the running, with Donald Trump the likely nominee, I'm going to quote Margaret Thatcher and I'm going to say this, make up your own mind.
It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him.
And then she says, it's not going to be from my endorsement that they support him. Donald Trump must earn the votes of the American people. Donald Trump must earn my supporters' votes. She's not endorsing. She's saying, Trump, it's on you to earn it. Again, not only not an endorsement, but the opposite of an endorsement. You're on your own, buddy, is what Nikki Haley chose to say at this moment. Let's go on.
And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away.
And when she says that, I'm sure you understand that she's saying Donald Trump has a way of turning people away. Politics at its best is bringing people together. Again, she's making a clear distinction in her non-endorsement of the 45th president.
And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing. I end my campaign with the same words I began it, from the book of Joshua. I direct them to all Americans, but especially to so many of the women and girls out there who put their faith in our campaign. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for God will be with you wherever you go. In this campaign, I have seen our country's greatness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, America. God bless you.
Well, I think it's quite clear there that not only is Nikki Haley not endorsing Donald Trump, she's saying, you know what? This is a time for him to choose what he wants to be, who he wants to be, and how he wants to reach out to the American people. So no, I know people wanted me to endorse. I'm sure she knows people wanted her to endorse. She made a clear decision not to do that. And I do believe she missed the moment. She absolutely missed the moment. And it may cost her down the road, and she may not care, at least at this point. Maybe she'll change her mind at some point. But at this point, she was making a statement. And that statement is this: you have to earn it. I'm not giving you one lick of an endorsement. And I believe it was a big mistake. Now, I know that there are people who are listening or watching and they're going, Adrian, I thought you were all about integrity. Why would you say that Nikki Haley has made a mistake by not endorsing Donald Trump if she truly, in her heart, feels like she can't get behind him? I thought you were about integrity. And yes, I am about integrity. And I don't think that someone should do something that they truly don't feel that they can do. But I will say this, from what I saw of Nikki Haley on the campaign trail, I didn't see someone who was running a campaign solely on integrity. This is someone who, in complete opposition, one might say, to conservative principles, she played identity politics a little bit too much for someone who might be talking about having integrity. Not only that, she went back on her word. She said that, yes, I will support whoever the Republican nominee is. And then recently, when she was asked about that, she said, well, I'm not so sure that I will do that if it's Donald Trump. And the reason she gave was, well, I only said that because I had to say that to get on the debate stage. No, that does not sound like integrity to me. Not at all. In addition to that, she had told Donald Trump that if he were to run for president again, she would not run. That's what she said. Now, I'm not one of those people who believes that she owes that to Donald Trump. I don't believe anybody is owed that kind of loyalty, but I didn't say it. She said it. She gave her word on that. And then what did she do? She ran for president. So I don't see Nikki Haley as the poster child for integrity. We saw her on the campaign trail when she was questioned about where some of her funding came from, places where, according to integrity, she should not receive money. What did she say? She said, I'm not going to say no to money. I'm going to take the money. That doesn't sound like integrity either. She just said that she could be bought and sold. And so now this is about integrity. Now she can't support Donald Trump because of integrity? Absolutely not. Listen, she should know. She does know that Donald Trump is so much better than what the Democrats are putting forth, than what Joe Biden is putting forth. So integrity is to look at the state of the union and know that we have to turn it around. So integrity would be to make that endorsement. She chose not to do that. And in that way, she adds to the problem. Rather, she could have used this moment to be a uniter herself by giving a speech that would have worked toward that end. Now, I don't have a problem with the beginning of her speech, but the part where she mentions Donald Trump, I would have done something completely different if I were Nikki Haley, because I believe there is a speech there that she should have given. Now, I'm going to give the speech that Nikki Haley should have given at that point. And I'm at a disadvantage because I'm going to do it without a teleprompter, without any notes at all. But this is what Nikki Haley should have said. It is abundantly obvious that the American people have decided that they want Donald Trump as the next president of the United States. Now, I worked very hard because I believed that I was that person who could take America forward. I believe that I have a plan. I believe that I have the passion. I have the experience to be the next president. But I respect the will of the people, and the people have spoken. And so when I look at the agenda of this current administration, I say the same thing that people across the nation have said to me on the campaign trail. And that is that we have to turn things around. And we have to do it now. Now, I don't agree with Donald Trump on everything. You know that. And obviously, he doesn't agree with me on everything because we certainly butt heads on the campaign trail. And he had some not so nice things to say. But we are where we are now. And I know that Donald Trump on his worst day is better than Joe Biden is on any day, or any Democrat who might vie for the presidency. And so I'm asking you to put aside all the disagreements, put aside all the battles, put aside the disappointment that the one you supported isn't going to be the president. Put it aside because America is worth it. Donald Trump has a record, and that's a good record. Again, I don't agree with everything, but he has a record of accomplishments. And again, even on his worst day, he's better than this administration. We've got to unite behind Donald Trump because he's the only one left in the race who can defeat the left and the leftist agenda. We have an economy problem. This current administration lies to us and tells us that everything is amazing. And yet we look in our pocketbooks, we look in our wallets, we look in our bank accounts, and we know that it's not true. We go to the gas station, we see the prices, we live the prices, we go to the grocery stores, we're experiencing that. There are people who are trying to figure out how they're going to make it. And this administration has no plan to turn it around. We have open borders that puts us in jeopardy. We have immigrants, illegals, and the president doesn't even want to say illegals. And when he does, by mistake, he apologizes. We have illegals who are coming into this country, bringing in fentanyl, killing American people. We can't keep track of them. We don't keep track of them. We issue a court date. They don't show up, putting all of us at risk. We have people who are being kicked out of recreational centers where their children have a place to play and learn and stay off the streets, and they're being given to illegal immigrants. We have a problem. We cannot survive 4 more years of Joe Biden. We cannot survive 4 more years of any Democrat going down this road. And with that, I appeal to you. Let's come together. Let's get behind Donald Trump and let's win in 2024. I promise you, I am not going off in the distance. I will be here. I will use my voice. I will use every platform God has given me so that we win in 2024. And so my question for you today, will you join me? Do you love America enough to get behind the Republican nominee so that we can turn this country around? I endorse Donald Trump for president. And I ask that you give him your support. God bless you and God bless America. Well, that's not as smooth as I would like it if I were really in a race for president and was stepping aside. I don't have a teleprompter. I don't have any notes. I'm just talking common sense. Nikki Haley and Donald Trump did definitely have some issues and some battles there. But there are things more important. And I believe it's true that even if she disagrees with Trump on some key issues, he has a record and he is infinitely better than what we have right now. And that has to be the focus. So her coming out with this, Margaret Thatcher, make your own choice. You got to earn. I mean, all that is just, we don't have time for that. We have got to win this election. And I don't believe, I've said it a million times, I'll say it again for those in the back. I don't believe a politician is the answer. Jesus is the answer. But he uses people, and we the people, and we have to have some, we have to have better than what we have right now. And so Nikki Haley missed that opportunity. I know people say she ruined her career, even beyond the career thing. And she may have. I don't know. But even beyond that, she missed the opportunity to have her supporters unite so that we don't, so that they don't vote for Biden, God forbid, right? And that they don't stay home. And hopefully she'll turn around and say something, but she certainly missed it. She missed it big. We have no time for your attitude, Nikki Haley, to get in the way of doing the right thing. Donald Trump is the one who's left. And that is the part, that's the speech you should have given. That's the portion at the end. I don't have a problem with the beginning part. I picked up right there where you started talking about Donald Trump. That is what should have been said. And you missed that opportunity. So I said it. I said it. And he is the presumptive nominee. And we'll see what happens. There are people who don't think that Biden will be the Democrat nominee. I know people are talking about Michelle Obama and all that. I've never seen Michelle Obama as somebody who wants to run for president. I don't even think she wanted to be first lady. You know, sounds good in the beginning. After a while, you're like, I don't want nothing to do with this. And that's what she exudes to me. I don't want anything to do with this. And she's made it clear she doesn't. So she's in there. I'd be surprised. Will it be Biden? Will it be Gavin Newsom? You know, nobody wants Kamala Harris in there. I mean, so we'll have to see what happens. But speaking of President Biden, of course, we just had the State of the Union, and that was rather interesting. I wrote a piece on my Substack about it, and I entitled it State of the Union, President Joe Yeller Biden, followed by Senator Katie Crier Britt. And I'm sure you, if you didn't watch it yourself, I'm sure you heard he yelled through the whole thing. And it, you know, he came across as an angry old man, as some people have termed it. I don't think he was yelling necessarily because he was angry, not saying he wasn't, but I think the goal was to go out there and make it appear as if you are full of life and energy and that you're not dealing with cognitive issues and all this, you know, all the talk that we, and we know it's obviously is dealing with, I'm not a doctor, but he's obviously dealing with something. And he's not generally full of vigor and energy. And he slurred his speech and different things, even on Tuesday at the State of the Union. Or was that Thursday? I think it was Thursday. He was on, even on Thursday at the State of the Union. But he did. I know people were waiting with bated breath to find out what it was going to be like. And so he managed to survive that, but he did step in it. And he stepped in it because he called the man who is allegedly the murderer of Laken Riley. He called him an illegal. And you know, that is a no-no in the Democrats because, you know, you can't offend illegals who come in and murder people or illegals who bring drugs in here. Not that they all do, but the Democrats were outraged about it because that's just not what you do. And so the president, when asked about it the next day, he said, well, I mean, he said, do you regret it? He says, well, you know, technically he's not supposed to be here, but they got to him. And so then on an MSNBC interview the next day, on Saturday, the day after on Friday, he said, technically, I thought, you know, funny how legally now is technically he's not supposed to be here. And then on Saturday, he said he regretted it and that he's supposed to say undocumented persons. Actually, I thought now they would call newcomers. But anyway, so he backtracked on that. And I just, it's such an insult to Laken Riley, to her family, that they're more concerned about offending a murderer than they are about those in this country, about a 22-year-old nursing student who was murdered by an illegal immigrant. By, you know, we're more concerned about that. And then he says her name wrong, which causes her family to speak out, her mother to speak out. It's an insult. In the Biden, even at the, when he was making his speech and he said, you know, an illegal, okay, he used the term illegal by mistake because, you know, he didn't want to use it. Didn't, if he was thinking it through, when he wouldn't have used it. He got off script. But then he said, well, how many thousands are killed by illegals? I mean, that was his approach toward this young woman who was out for a run and gets murdered. And then you say, well, yeah, it was done by an illegal, but how many other people are, I mean, I've done, how many people are killed by illegals? That's not the point. That's not the point. I mean, he should not have been here. And she would not have died. And her family would not be suffering. And this is what we're dealing with this administration. And it's like I wrote another piece. I wrote another piece called America Last. Biden says Lake and Riley's alleged murder is technically an illegal, then caves, because then he went to undocumented. But it's such an embarrassment. It's such a sadness. And it is an America Last mindset. We need Donald Trump back. People whined because of he didn't use artful language. He didn't use woke language when he talked about people who are coming in and they're murderers and they're drug pushers, et cetera. And no, not everyone is. But we have got to care more about this country than other countries. We've got to, you know, we're worried about artful language and woke language to protect the man who murdered, or I'm supposed to say allegedly, okay, obligatory, allegedly murdered an innocent person. No, we've got to turn things around. Let's take a break right here for these messages, and then I'll be right back. You know how important it is for a vehicle to run right. Well, DL Transmissions is this area's premier transmission repair facility. They offer a free transmission inspection. If you think your vehicle is not working right, call them today at 573-334-8726 or stop by their shop at 783 South Kings Highway in Cape Girardeau. You can enjoy their clean, comfortable waiting area while they look at your vehicle. DL Transmissions is your best choice for quality transmission repair, hands down. Are you still tied to Google and Safari? Have you not yet tried the Luxel search engine? You got to give it a try. Why? Because among other things, you get uncensored results, you get an unbiased search engine, and you even get to filter your options based on your political preferences. A lot of people I know are gravitating to Luxel. You need to check it out also. That's LUXXLE.com. Local folks, have you been to a Guardians of Liberty meeting yet? If not, you're missing out. They meet every Tuesday at 5 o'clock p.m. at Delmonico's in Jackson. Now, maybe you can't make it every week, but you really ought to put it on your calendar and get there at some point. Mark Hur was there on March 5th. He is from the Center for Self-Governance. He dropped some serious knowledge about Elizabeth Willing Powell, about Frederick Douglass, about Franklin B. Sanborn, about Charles Merriam, stuff I had never heard of. It was amazing. And coming up on March 12th, the conversation will be about global education with Kim Swartz. And then March 19th, L. Douglas Hogan will be there again. And his topic, Agenda 2030 and healthcare, Guardians of Liberty. You got to check it out. Let me get to the response. Like I said, a lot has transpired since the last episode, but the response was from Katie Britt. Senator Katie Britt gave the rebuttal, the response to Biden's State of the Union. Now, there was plenty to work with because Biden, probably the most honest thing he said during his speech, because there was a lot that wasn't honest, okay? But the most honest thing he said was when he said that an innocent woman was killed by an illegal. Other than that, a whole lot of untruth. Let's put it that way. So there was a lot to work with that the Republicans could have worked with, that Katie Britt could have worked with, but she is being raked over the coals because the speech was given in her kitchen. And I wrote about this too. That's why I called her crier He was the yeller. Biden was the yeller. Then she followed with the crier. When she first began to give her rebuttal to the State of the Union address, I paused because I thought she was crying. I literally thought she was crying. And her voice sounded so weird, so strange. And then I was like, oh, she's not crying. Because then it changed to something else. And I was like, oh no, she's not crying. She's must be just nervous. And I said, well, man, she sounds weird. And I was like, well, she's young. I mean, I kind of said she's young, she's probably nervous. Of course, this is a big stage and that, but it was like up and down. I wrote about this, I wrote about this. I pointed it out. Up and down and up and down. Her voice was all, people are calling it cringe. I mean, people are just, oh my, they're just beating her up over this. And it was really, really, really bad. But it's so bad that I feel bad for her, because like she was probably asked to do this. This is part of the service to the country. She's gonna give this. And it was terrible. And I don't know if she was, I don't know how that all works. Like, was she coached how to speak? Because it was really crying, kind of whining, kind of, it's so bad that you hear people saying, I don't even know what she said. Now, I do remember some of what she said. It was, Joe Biden tried to make the country sound like we were doing it. The State of the Union was amazing. And she kind of pointed out, no, it's not. But she's sitting around the table, and this is we're around the symbolism of the table is like, I'm a mom, and we're women, and we have these table issues that we like to talk about, and these are important issues. And so, no, the State of the Union isn't amazing, but she didn't make it all gloom and doom. I do remember that, but it was just a, and it's so, well, actually, let me stop here and let me play just a little bit for you.
Never could have imagined what my story would entail. To think about what the American dream can do across just one generation, in
Oh
just
God.
one lifetime, it's truly breathtaking. But right now, the American dream has turned into a nightmare. Our country can do better. And you don't have to look any further than the crisis at our southern border to see it. President Biden inherited the most secure border of all time. He invited it with 94 executive actions in his first 100 days.
So you heard for yourself. I mean, what is that? The breathiness, the it was just, I don't want to, she's been beaten up enough. I feel really bad for her, but she's been beaten up enough. But I say that to say this is what Republicans do. Again, I don't know how all that works. Maybe she was coached to do this. Sound like she was, in a bad acting class. She got some bad advice. I don't know that it was her decision to sit at the table, but some team came up with this stuff. And this is my thing with Republicans, as I say, the message may be good, but Republicans are amazing at bad messaging. I mean, here's your opportunity of a lifetime, and you've got, I mean, the president and his yelling and his illegals and his saying Lincoln Riley's name wrong, called her Lincoln Riley, which is who is the coach of the USC football team, and I mean the lies and all this stuff. He has, he's lying about this, him wanting to turn immigration around when we know that that's not the truth. That immigration bill was filled with all kind of stuff. It was a mess, and he started his speech talking about Ukraine. It was just so bad. And we all know that when first day in office, he reversed all these policies, all the doings that were working, including with immigration of President Trump. There was a lot to work with. There was a message that was just waiting. And instead, we've got her out there sitting at her kitchen table, And she's like half crying, half, I mean, just like a roller coaster, like a bad actor, a bad actress. Messaging matters. And Republicans, frankly, they stink at it. And we've got to do better because people don't like there are people who are like skilled people who are skilled in politics. They've got I mean, their background is in politics. They eat this stuff, they digest this stuff. And I've heard more than one say, I don't even know what she said because I was so messed up by the way she did it. But they set her up for this, and I mean, I'm assuming she practiced in front of somebody, and it was just really, really bad. Republicans, can we get our stuff together? Can we get our act together? I said the same thing with some other stuff concerning some of, people like Charlie Kirk and people, people like Matt Walsh, people who are trying to. I don't even want to go down that road again, but we've got some people with these platforms that are messing stuff up with their messaging, as if there's not an election to be won, as if there's not a lot on the line. We're going to trust in God. Yes, we are. And God gave us common sense and he's given us some ability. Can we please use it? Can we? So anyway, that's really all that I have to share today. A lot goes on in the course of a week, especially now, and I generally only see you once a week. So we're going to continue to follow how things shape up and continue on toward 2024. And I encourage you to get with my Substack and follow along at adrianross.substack.com. Subscribe there, and again, subscribe on a podcast platform and leave a rating, leave a review, go to YouTube. It's the Adrian Ross Show on YouTube. Also subscribe there, turn those notifications on, and like and comment and share and all the wonderful things. And also, of course, the BMG Network. The BMG Network. That is the BMGnetwork.com. I'm not the only person who's a part of that network. We are engaging, enlightening, informative, and yes, entertaining. And so follow the other podcasters on the BMG Network. All right. So I appreciate your time. God bless you abundantly.